Hi, I'm your friend Claude.
And I'm cousin Adam.
And we're here today to break down our favorite Halloween sitcom episodes of all time in this spooky edition of the Nerd Bomber Podcast. Well, who'd like to start this list off?
First, we wanted to acknowledge the unequivocal master of the Halloween special, which was The Simpsons, with their annual Treehouse of Horrors. We decided ahead of time that we were just going to give that a one big shout out and acknowledge that they were the master. I do believe you have a favorite, though, also of the Treehouse of Horrors. What is your favorite?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. The Simpsons is the go-to kind of, you know, perennial favorite for Halloween shows. And out of all the ones they've been doing in their, 29 seasons?
30, I think.
Is it 30 now? God damn.
I think so, yeah.
I think they started the Treehouse of Horror in season 2. But my favorite, I mean, it's not necessarily the best episode, but I have a certain fondness for Treehouse of Horror 9. It was the fourth episode of season 10 from October 29th of 1998. And this one had, the three stories were Hell to Pay, which is about the recurring criminal character Snake getting killed, and his hair becoming sentient and taking over Homer. And so Homer kind of acts and talks like him and does all these fun criminal things. There's another segment called Terror of Tiny Toon, where Bart and Lisa get kind of sucked into the TV and trapped inside of an episode of Itchy and Scratchy. Which is, you know, just cool in the sense that, like, Itchy and Scratchy has been there like favorite show since the beginning of The Simpsons, and like this, they actually get to go inside it and interact, and it's one of those cool things where they kind of travel through different other shows, like Regis and Kathy Lee make a guest appearance, and you know, they interact with them, and the Freddy Krueger himself actually makes an appearance with Robert Englund actually doing the voice, so that's pretty cool.
Nice, yeah.
And then you have the third segment is called Starship Poopers, and it's especially classic because it is revealed that Maggie is actually a product of Marge's one-night stand with the alien King of the famous King and Kodos recurring alien duo, and they go on Jerry Springer and try to sort it all out.
Awesome.
And now for my final thought. Nobody wins when parents put their petty squabbles above the welfare of a child. Let's hope they put their differences aside and do what's best for Maggie.
What the f***? Get the baby off, son of a
I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite one.
Yeah, that was definitely a good one. My pick was actually Treehouse of Horror 5. That was my favorite because it actually did, they did a parody of The Shining on that one, and they had to call it The Shinning.
Boy, you read my thoughts. You've got The Shinning.
You mean Shining.
Shh, you want to get sued?
That was also the one where they found out they were like chopping up the kids and putting them in the food in school. And the running gag of that episode was every time something bad was about to happen, groundskeeper Willie would show up to save the day, but he would get like stabbed in the back by somebody.
You're still not in your own world, Homer. I can get you home, but you have to do exactly as I...
This is indeed a disturbing universe.
And of course, in The Shining, it was Homer, because Homer's the one that went crazy in that episode. But I like that one because, you know, Stephen King in The Shining is, you know, I'm actually a big fan of Stephen King's books. The Shining, the movie with Jack Nicholson, is pretty good. It's kind of funny, though, because Stephen King actually hates the Stanley Kubrick version of the movie, because it strays farther from key plot points from the book. They did do a miniseries of The Shining. It had Steve Weber and Rebecca De Mornay in it, and it was a little more closer to the book. But it was just funny, because if you look at them separately, they're both really good. But if you compare it with the book and the movie, it's like a lot of stuff's way off,
Right.
But anyway, that's kind of off topic of what we're talking about. But yeah, so it's 5 was mine with that with The Shining. One of my favorite lines was that was because in the movie The Shining, he said all work and no play make Jack a dull boy, or something like that. And then in the Simpsons, it was no TV, no beer make Homer something. And Marge is go crazy. He's don't mind if I do. And he goes blah, blah, all crazy and stuff. That was always one of my favorites when I was younger.
Yeah,
always get a kick out of it.
Quoted all the time and among my circle of friends too.
Oh yeah.
Interestingly, this installment of Treehouse of Horror is probably the most famous or most revered, in the sense that virtually every single article I came across that talked about Halloween shows included that specific Treehouse of Horror as, on their countdown.
Oh, the quintessential
right.
Treehouse of Horror. Interesting. I did not know that.
So I guess you have either good taste or you are a follower.
Yeah, I'm just a sheep. Sheep in the herd. It was funny because when I looked it up, I was like, well, that was my favorite one. So I just Googled, which Treehouse of Horror was the Shining parody or whatever. And it was Treehouse of Horror 5. So that's what I picked. But that's kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
funny.
I would say that's probably the classic one, too.
Yeah, I think that's probably where it solidified itself is this was going to be a running thing that's awesome.
Definitely.
So before we go on with our picks, I did have one more honorable mention just because it was one of my favorite newer shows. It was the episode of Parks and Recreation in season 2. Is called Greg Pakaitis, which is the namesake of the antagonist in this episode. I like it because it was a show that gave you the mischievous side of Halloween. Because this kid in the episode, he was a high school kid, and every year on Halloween, he terrorizes the parks department because he vandalizes the park. So they had this elaborate scheme to catch him, and he was basically one step ahead the whole time, and they never caught him red-handed, doing the damage to the park or whatever. So it was a really funny show, and it was a funny episode, so I just want to throw that in there. I wanted to put it on my list, but there were too many classics that I couldn't pass up.
Nice. Yeah, I saw that one make a lot of the lists online too. I've never actually seen it. I've only seen maybe 2 or 3 episodes of Parks and Rec in my whole life. Mm-hmm. But tis the season, so I'll definitely search it out, especially since it is included on everybody's kind of must-have Halloween shows.
It was a good show. It was a little difficult to get into at first, but a lot of the characters, I think, are what made me keep watching that show. So, it's definitely worth a look if you're ever bored. But, that was the only Halloween episode of that show that stood out to me. I think there might have been a couple more, but I don't really remember it too well. So,
right.
All right. So, why don't we go in and you can do your number 5 first, since I just did my honorable mention.
All right. That means, I guess, that it's time for the list proper.
Yes.
And my first pick here is an episode of the show How I Met Your Mother called The Slutty Pumpkin.
Hey, Ted, what are you doing for Halloween?
Well,
what? Every Halloween, Ted waits for the Slutty Pumpkin.
That's right.
What's the Slutty Pumpkin?
You mean, who is the Slutty Pumpkin? It was 4 years ago. I was at this Halloween party up on the roof of our building, about to call it an early night, when out of nowhere appeared this girl in the sexiest pumpkin costume.
It is the first Halloween episode they did, the 6th episode of season 1, which interestingly enough will become kind of a recurring theme, is for whatever reason, I guess the production schedule falling this way, but most Halloween episodes seem to be the 6th episode of a show's season. Mm-hmm. And this one was no exception, from October 24th of 2005. This is kind of a classic episode of this show. And it sees Ted meeting a mystery girl wearing a quote-unquote slutty pumpkin costume, which is called that because the jack-o'-lantern eyes and nose and mouth are, as they say in the show, cut out strategically on her body. So he meets her at the group's rooftop Halloween party in 2001, and he wrote her phone number on a Kit Kat bar, which is hilarious, but obviously foreshadows some hijinks. I guess it was just what was handy at the party. So then Lily mistakenly gives out the Kit Kat bar to one of their random trick-or-treaters, of course, and he's unable to ever call her. So basically the idea is he attends their party every year for the last 4 years wearing the same costume he did that year, which was a hanging Chad. Which they make fun of him in the show. It was already like a dated political reference even then. But he does this hoping that she'll recognize him when and if she ever returns.
I think the question is, does she ever return?
Yeah, they a few years later, they do an episode called The Return of the Slutty Pumpkin.
Halloween Monday, Ted's found the perfect treat, Katie Holmes.
You like it when I caress your hair?
Why is she saying that word?
Is this the spookiest?
I like her. I just don't seem to like anything she says or does.
Creepiest romance ever?
I have to break up with her, don't I?
Yes.
Can I sleep with her? Yes.
A new How I Met Your Mother Monday.
Mm.
And it is revealed that Katie Holmes is the girl.
Oh.
And, you know, they sort of fill in the missing years, and it's kind of a funny episode because they, you know, start dating or whatever, at first he seems like weirded out by her, like she's like coming on really strong and like really weird and over the top, but then it's one of those things where they like switch perspectives and they show you that they each thought that of each other, and you know, hilarity ensues.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's cool. I have to confess that I never watched that show, so wow. I never saw the episode. It does sound funny though, so
yeah, I would recommend it. I don't find myself revisiting it as much as, you know, other shows, but I think it's pretty entertaining.
Okay, cool. So my number five pick was from a show called Home Improvement, which was a show, I know, right? You're looking back on it, I'm like, why did I ever really watch the show? I'm not really a big Tim Allen fan.
Well, no, I say because I also have an entry from Home Improvement, and I'm hoping that's not the same. Right.
Well, you know, they were a show much like Roseanne, which you probably have a pick from Roseanne on there as well.
Naturally.
That was, you know, that was known for doing a really good Halloween episode every year. I think there was like, I want to say like six or seven Home Improvement episodes that were Halloween episodes.
Right.
But the one I picked was from season three. I'm assuming it was episode six or seven or something like that.
right.
I didn't actually look into it that
deep.
It's
a safe bet.
Yeah, it's definitely safe, a safe bet. It was titled Crazy for You. And in this one, the main plot point of this episode, which is the reason why I picked this too, because it could actually kind of be almost like maybe to some people like a relatable scary thing, or like something that could definitely be plausible, you know, but you could plausibly happen to you in real life. But in this one, Jill decides she's going to prank Tim by making up like a secret admirer named Rose. And this fake, person Rose sends Tim cookies at first, like at the studio. And then she starts like calling the house, and he's thinking that, you know, it's some crazy stalker that's like after him. And it, she mentions that she's going to be at like their party. I believe I can't remember specifically, but I think the party was in their basement, at their house, 'cause they always had, a party there or something. And she actually shows up, and it turns out it's like Al dressed up. But yeah, so it turns out Jill was just pranking him, but it was funny because, it was good because it was kind of like actually scary. You know, it wasn't like some kind of funny, just story around Halloween. It was like a little bit creepy because he had a stalker.
Hey, don't do that, Wilson.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tim. I didn't mean to frighten you, but a lady asked me to give this to you.
It's a rose.
That was my first reaction.
Where is she?
Well, she seems to have disappeared. Lady dressed all in red, had an air of menace about her.
Did she?
But of course, you know, in the audience, you know, it's like a funny show, so it's not going to really turn into be anything serious. But yeah, I picked that one. I'm not sure. You said you watched it too. Do you remember that episode or anything?
Yeah, definitely. I remember it from back in the day, but I also recently watched all the Home Improvement Halloweens, and you know, that just even jogged my memory further. And it just also made me realize how really well done it was, and how I had kind of, in the years since like the original airings, I'd kind of dismissed Home Improvement, because it's a show that became kind of known for the sort of teen idol nonsense surrounding like the kids who played their three sons.
Yeah.
And I just felt like it got old for me quick, but it is a really good show, and they all do a really great job. And of course, especially the Halloween episodes are particularly well done.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a great plot.
Yeah. They, I think, did you just watch it on Hulu? Cause I read something about how they just like released all the Home Improvement Halloween episodes on Hulu or something like that.
Yeah. I think they have the whole series up there. So I just went through and like each season and just looked for the Halloween episode manually.
Right. Yeah.
That would have been helpful.
That's good research right there.
Yeah.
yeah, but no, I agree with that too. I think a lot of, the show, besides like that teen idol nonsense too, was, I think a lot of it just kind of was like, kind of recycled a little bit, you know, with like, you know, Tim was always going to do something stupid,
right?
You know, he's supposed to be like this handyman, but always makes mistakes. You know, I mean, it was just like a constant, you know, I mean, I guess that wasn't really like a running gag. I think that's just who part of his character was, but it kind of got old after a while. But yeah, you know, the whole cast had a great chemistry, I thought. I mean, you'd really think that, you know, those two were married, or, you know, him and Al kind of had like this weird friendship. You know, the whole thing was like really well done.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah. Cool. So that was my pick for number five.
My next pick is an episode of The Office from, well, first let me say, it's sort of the first little twist in terms of Halloween criteria on my list, in the sense that my favorite quote-unquote Halloween episode of The Office is not actually a Halloween episode. It is also the first of, I believe, two shows on this list that actually aired originally in February. So this is episode 17 of season 3, titled Business School. And it originally aired February 15th of 2007. And it is notable for Halloween relation because it was directed by Buffy the Vampire Slayer creator Joss Whedon. And while the main plot involves Ryan inviting Michael to speak at his business school class, and Michael gets upset when they question the usefulness of paper in an increasingly computerized world, the real attraction for me here is that a bat is discovered in the office ceiling, and Jim spends the entire episode trying to convince Dwight that he was bitten by it and is slowly becoming a vampire.
Yep.
I just think it's one of the best interactions between Jim and Dwight, and of course there's a ton of them. But it's also got, for me, one of Dwight's best lines. It's just kind of a throwaway thing, but it's always stuck with me for whatever reason. He says something to the, it's one of his little like solo camera interview segments, and he says, like, if a vampire bat was in the U.S., it would make sense for it to come to a Sylvania.
Yeah.
And this is also the episode where Pam shows her work at a local art show, and Michael ends up being the only one to be supportive of it after her boyfriend Roy is dismissive and kind of placating when he comes with his brother, I think. And then Oscar is the only other employee to come, and he picks it apart with his boyfriend. So the scene where Michael buys her painting of The Office is kind of an ultimate, like, heartwarming tearjerker moment. And overall, I think it makes this episode one of the all-time classics of the whole series.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, with Michael showing up, you know, it kind of just shows you who he really is as a person, you know.
Right.
But at the same time, because, I mean, a lot of his character arc on that show was, you know, the need for everybody to like him and be his friend. and, you know, have a family and stuff. But this is like, I think that was one of the moments where he actually shows that he is also a good friend to someone and gives them like an actual, you know, compliment. You know, like you said, where Roy was dismissive, you know, he says something like, oh, your art was the prettiest art of all the art, or something stupid like that, because he was trying to, you know, be supportive, but it was just obviously paper thin, you know.
Right.
So yeah, you're right. That was like an excellent heartwarming moment. And it was almost kind of like, you know, it was almost like a fatherly thing for him to do to Pam, you know, and she was very appreciative of it. You know, he does the same thing to Aaron later on. In the seasons too, where, you know, because she's an orphan and she kind of sees Michael as her father figure, and he kind of doesn't realize it and he does. And you know what I mean? It's kind of like another kind of tear jerky moment at the same time. But yeah, you know, he was always like that. So yeah, that's a good pick, because it's not really like a Halloween theme, but, you know, it's like a scary, funny, you know, with the vampire thing. That was that was a good episode.
Yeah. For whatever reason, and like, as the years go on in my memory, I always, I guess, kind of conflate it as one of the Halloween episodes because of that stuff, because of the vampire heart. But yeah, I was kind of surprised to learn that it wasn't actually Halloween. But you know, it's relevant for me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you equate it with Halloween, so it's definitely you know, valid. And it's also our show, so we can do whatever the hell we want to. So
<All right>.
So suck it
like a vampire.
Animal control will be here at 6.
At 6? No, that is unacceptable. Okay, Jim, you are the number 2 in this office. You need to step up and show some leadership.
I'm sorry, what did you say? So weird.
What? What's so weird?
The bat. I mean, I know I felt it bite me, but look, there's no mark. I feel so tingly. So strangely powerful.
Back to you.
So my number 4 pick was the before mentioned show Roseanne. And it was actually their, it was Halloween number 4, I think is the name of the episode. So this would be the 5th season, I believe, because I think the Halloween started in the 2nd season there as well.
Yeah.
Of course, didn't get too detailed with it, but yeah, it's number 4. In this episode, because like we talked about before, you know, Roseanne was known for their Halloween episodes, because Roseanne and Dan on the show, it was like their favorite holiday, and they always tried to like prank each other, you know, to see who would have the best prank on Halloween. So I picked this episode because it kind of gives you some background on why they like Halloween so much, and you know, why it's such an important holiday for them. And they also kind of do like a Christmas Carol parody, in the sense that she, in this episode, Roseanne's not really into Halloween, because she finds out like Becky's not going to be coming home for Halloween that year. So she's kind of just reluctantly handing candy out to kids at the house. And she skips out on a Halloween party she was supposed to go to. She ends up falling asleep on the couch, and she's visited by the ghosts of Halloween's past, present, and future, kind of like in the Christmas Carol. It was a Christmas Carol, right, that did that? The Christmas Pass? Yeah. I get them all confused. They always run together.
Do not tell me, Roseanne Connor.
How the hell did you get in here?
Tonight, the ghosts of Halloween past, present, and future will come to renew in you the joys of the Halloween spirit. You must come with me now.
Who's under that sheet? Is that you, Fisher?
Do not look under the sheet!
Well, you want me to go with you, right? How do I know that you really are some evil and terrifying spirit from beyond the grave and not just some ordinary creep, huh, Casper?
Okay. Look under the sheet.
Purse.
Yeah, so in this episode, you know, the ghost of Halloween past kind of shows Roseanne, you know, she pranks her mother when she's a kid. So like she pretends to like choke on a piece of gum or something like that. And he gets a real kick out of it. And it also shows that Dan and Roseanne actually meet at a Halloween dance, which kind of is what the significance of them liking Halloween so much. So that was, so I liked it because it gave the background of why, you know, that was an important thing for them. And she actually ends up, I guess people on the Ghost of Halloween Present shows the people at the party kind of making fun of her for not showing up or whatever. So she ends up showing up in like a Statue of Liberty costume, and she sets off the fire alarm and everybody gets soaked, but she has an umbrella and she's ready for it. And she gets the last laugh kind of thing. Also, it's one of my favorite pranks that Dan does on Jackie. He like pretends that his hand gets stuck in the garbage disposal and like sprays blood everywhere.
Yeah,
that was a pretty classic prank. That's always like when I think of Roseanne, that's what sticks in my head is Dan pretending to, you know, get his hand mangled in the garbage disposal. So that was my number four pick, Roseanne.
Yeah, it's definitely a great episode. The idea of taking like the kind of scary kind of this is your life portion of A Christmas Carol and turning it in from converting it from Christmas to Halloween might seem kind of obvious, but it's not something I had ever seen anything do before.
No.
So I thought it was pretty cool. And, you know, to flesh out the characters with like taking you back and explaining, you know, why Halloween is done so big in their family and why it's important is like a testament to the quality of storytelling that both existed on this show and, in my opinion, existed on sitcoms kind of, you know, prior to the modern day that aren't done quite the same way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And also Roseanne had one of the best writing staffs in TV history for a long time. And it's kind of, you know, continues to show that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah.
My next pick is actually my choice for Home Improvement Halloween episode.
Noise.
Thankfully, it was not the same as yours.
It is
from the year previous to the one you picked. It is episode 6, again, of season 2 from October 28th, 1992, called The Haunting of Taylor House.
Yes.
So I want to say it's their first, again, in season 2, it's their first Halloween episode. This is actually kind of a, I don't know if this is a spoiler or if it's foreshadowing or whatever, but it's Ryder Strong's first appearance on this list a full year before Boy Meets World's debut.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The episode centers around Brad wearing a couple's costume with his girlfriend Jennifer. They're planning to go to the family party as Raggedy Ann and Andy. And, you know, when it comes time for the guests to arrive, she actually shows up with a bully kid named Danny, who is played by Ryder Strong, and they're both dressed as bikers. So basically, Brad's screwed because he actually showed up as Raggedy Andy and looks like an idiot now.
Right.
So he kind of spends the rest of the episode pouting outside for the most part. And it turns out later that she did this because she's mad at him that he didn't pick her in a kickball game at school that day or whatever.
Yes.
he has to learn about how to take girls' feelings into consideration.
Right.
This episode also establishes the dedication to Halloween, as you mentioned, that Home Improvement would become known for over its 8-year run. Really, a lot of these ABC shows were the go-to for Halloween episodes. You know, you had, obviously, Roseanne leading the pack. And, you know, we established that The Simpsons is probably the overall Halloween king. Roseanne is clearly the live-action king.
Oh, yeah.
But Home Improvement is right behind Roseanne. And even, you know, episode to episode, they kind of stand neck and neck in some cases. But, this particular episode kind of culminates with a tour through their basement, and of course it establishes their big basement Halloween party as well.
Mm-hmm.
Where they've constructed a haunted house, and of course Danny is scoffing at everything being not scary and whatever, and eventually he is scared from the house by Tim's increasing annoyance and escalating spooky surprises.
Right.
You know, such a, I guess it's kind of a basic Halloween episode, if you can call it that, in terms of Home Improvement continuity.
Mm-hmm.
But it just kind of hits every note just right for me and kind of sets up their Halloween in the best way, I thought.
No! It's not a sign! a bucket. I'm scared.
Yeah, you know, the crazy thing is that obviously I know who Ryder Strong is, and I remember this episode, but I don't remember him being the guy. It's weird, like how my brain does not even register that whatsoever until you said it. I was like, oh yeah, that was Ryder Strong. Holy crap.
Right.
It's funny you mentioned ABC too, because two of my next three picks are also ABC shows. So number three for me is, once again, season two of the show Modern Family, titled Halloween, which I believe that is not right. Is it season two? I must have wrote that down wrong, because I don't think it's season two. But regardless, it's a Halloween episode. Yeah. So
say I'm not sure. I did. It's another one that keeps popping up on the compilation list, but I did not think to look at the details.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because this one, when I think of, because, you know, Modern Family is kind of known for their Halloween too, because the character Claire Dunphy on the show, that's like her holiday. You know, that's the one that she always does the party. She does the haunted house. You know, she's really into it. It's like her favorite thing. So, of course, every year they do a Halloween episode. And of course, the one that just aired, they actually killed off a character during this episode. So
nice.
You know, they make it kind of like a big deal all the time.
Well, props to...
What's that? Sorry.
I was going to say, props to Modern Family for doing that. And FYI, you were correct. It is the sixth episode, once again, of the second season, originally airing October 27th, 2010.
Okay. Yeah. So it is season two. All right. So I was right. Well, this one, when I think about all the Modern Family Halloween episodes, this is the one that I remember that gives me the most laughs for a Halloween episode. And it has a relevant nod to pop culture in here that I like a lot as well. So if you're not familiar with the show, basically Modern Family follows three different families of the same family. So like the patriarch is Jay Pritchett, who's played by Ed O'Neill. And then it follows his family and his son and daughter's families. His son Mitchell is actually gay and has a partner and is married to later on in the season, who they adopt a Vietnamese orphan baby. And then his daughter, Claire, is like your typical, you know, American family. You know, she has a husband and three kids. So it follows all these different storylines with the three families, and they all, you know, of course, mesh into each other. And this one also, not only was it funny, all the storylines came together really well in this episode. So anyway, what happens is, so the first part is Mitchell works at a law firm, and he just starts, or he doesn't work for a law firm. He works for this, like business tycoon type guy. He's like in their legal department. And he goes to work one day before Halloween, and these two guys say, oh yeah, we dress up here every year for Halloween. So he's like, oh, okay, cool. So he wears like this skin tight, kind of like Spider-Man costume with like the fake muscles in it. Right. And he shows up to work and he realizes that nobody actually dresses up. The two guys that said that are like the two guys in the office that the dude's like, you know, this close to firing, and like they're just like the screw ups, you know, of the office. So he's like, crap, right, I don't want to look like a screw up. So he has to try to hide the fact that he's wearing the Spider-Man costume. So he's got his suit on over it, and every time he's walking around, you can kind of hear it, you know, swishing. And his boss is just like, what is that noise or whatever? So he tries to go into the bathroom and change out of it. So he's like in a bathroom stall, and his clothes are out on the sink or whatever, and the janitor comes in and takes the clothes away. So he's like trapped in the stall in his Spider-Man costume. So now he can't even hide it. So he has to like climb out the wall, or out the window, and like shimmy down the outside wall on like a pipe. So he looks like Spider-Man, you know, like going down the wall, like to get out of it. And he's really close to getting out because he's got an extra suit in his car, but like the car alarm goes off and then everybody sees him out there in his Spider-Man costume. So he gets caught anyway.
Of course.
So that was, yeah. So that was like the relevant pop culture thing. Cause like, I really like Spider-Man a lot. So I thought it was cool that, you know, he likes Spider-Man too. And, you know, he's going to dress up like him. Nice. And then on Claire's side, Phil is getting like really overly sensitive because he finds out that his neighbor got a divorce. So now he's like, oh no, it can happen to anybody. And like, you know, Claire's going to leave me. So he's being like really ultra sensitive to her. So what happens is when they all converged on Claire's house for Halloween, they have like a haunted house. And everybody is bringing their baggage to this. And Claire gets really pissed off because, like, you know, Halloween's like her only holiday and they're all screwing it up for her. Because, you know, Gloria is supposed to be a witch and she's supposed to say, like, welcome to your nightmare. But she's like doing this over the top American accent. So it sounds really funny where she's like, welcome to your nightmare. Ha 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 ha, or whatever. And she's not using her real voice. And Claire's just like, what the hell is going on? And Cam can't stop talking about the thing. And Phil's being like super sensitive. And she's like, what's your problem? It's like this whole thing just like blows up. But then, of course, at the end, she gets mad and leaves. And the family pulls together and gets over their shit and, you know, does it right for her. So sorry for the long explanation. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in that episode. So,
yeah, that's I mean, I've seen it a bunch, but I don't really remember. Is this an hour show, or is it still half an hour?
It's still half an hour.
Yeah, they always manage to... I mean, there's a lot of characters, a giant cast, and they always manage to pack a bunch of stuff in there. So yep. I kind of like that, though, in terms of a Halloween episode, because typically Halloween shows are like, you know, like special events, like bonus kind of episodes for me, and like... Yeah, I generally want them to last as long as possible and give me kind of the most bang for my buck. So I like that in this sense.
Yeah, definitely.
My next pick is another ABC show with family in the title.
Uh-huh.
We are talking, of course, about Family Matters. They had a lot of great Halloween episodes over the years. And my pick is actually probably one of the more unsung ones. One of the ones that doesn't really get a ton of attention. Mm. And I am talking about an episode called Dark and Stormy Night. It was, of course, episode 6 of season 6 from October 28th of 1994.
Okay.
And this one is particularly interesting and cool to me because it's a little out of the box. In the sense of, like, it's not your typical sitcom episode, and it's not your typical Halloween sitcom episode. It's pretty clever. They, in the beginning, it starts out everybody's in their costume, and they're getting ready to take young Richie out trick-or-treating, but there's a thunderstorm that kills the electricity in their house. So they determine that it's too unsafe to go out trick-or-treating with the thunder and lightning, and decide to stay in and play Pass the Ghost Story.
Hey, I got an idea. Let's play Pass the Ghost Story.
Sounds like fun.
I'll start. It was a dark and stormy night. In a creepy old castle. This castle was the home of the tall, dark, handsome, fearless and dynamic Count von Winslow.
From there, the episode kind of more takes place within the ghost story, kind of shows the world that they're describing. And it's cool because, of course, Carl starts it off as the family patriarch. And I want to say it was around the same time as Interview with the Vampire was out in theaters. Because it's, you know, the whole thing is about the family being vampires, and it takes place in this like cool, it looks like a, it's supposed to be like a really old mansion or giant castle, and the set is just so well done, so good looking. I mean, they don't really leave the room much because obviously that's like probably cost a lot, and they kind of want to get their money's worth out of that one spot, but and it's a right. Sitcom, of course. But yeah, it just blew me away how much they put into this one episode by making such a lavish set. Mm-hmm. So basically Carl and Harriet are vampires, and Steve is the hero of the story, of course, Steve Urkel, and his carriage breaks down and he has to stay with them for the night, and they basically spend the episode trying to bamboozle him into drinking some kind of poisoned wine or whatever so they can suck his blood.
Yeah.
And it's cool because as the story progresses, basically they pass the flashlight to the next person to tell their portion of the story. And when they get a turn, that's when their, of course, their own character is introduced, and they, I don't know. It just, I like the format, I like the setup, and I like the execution. It's a pretty cool episode.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, because when the new character is introduced, when they get the flashlight, it's always like, it always mucks it up somehow, and it makes it funny, you know, where it's like, oh, yep, there, that guy screwed it up, but it's funny, you know?
Yeah, everybody is introduced in kind of a goofy, bumbling way. And there's, you know, some recurring gags and stuff, and it's definitely worth checking out. It is also on Hulu.
Very nice. Yeah, it's funny because like that was like one of my favorite shows when I was growing up. I loved Steve Urkel, and I always did impressions of him and stuff, and everybody wanted me to do my Steve Urkel impression, and ha-ha, you're so funny. But when I was thinking, I was trying to think of like the episodes off the top of my head, because obviously the ones that are on the top of my head are the ones that are, you know, the ones I think are the best because they stayed with me for the longest time. I can't remember any Family Matters Halloween episodes for some reason. I just couldn't do it. I was like, you know, I can't think of one. And now when you mention that one, I do remember it now, because I remember the whole thing about the power going out and, you know, Richie was really disappointed and stuff. So yeah, it was very weird how I kind of drew a blank on Family Matters, you know, but you didn't, sir.
Never.
You have the memory of something that has a really good memory. I don't know what.
Yeah. What is the animal? Was it an elephant or something?
Elephant. Yeah. The memory of an elephant would be good.
I also have a waistline of an elephant. So, you know, I keep it consistent.
Yeah. Right. Same here. So we're all good. We're all good in the hood on that one. Okay. All right. So my number two pick, going back to The Office, which is one of my favorite shows of all time. Number two is season two, I'm assuming episode six, called Halloween. It's funny because like my last two picks were titled Halloween, so
keep it going.
Keep it going with the Halloween. Well, it's weird because you know how Friends, you know, all their episodes are always titled the one with ... or whatever, right. You know, fill in the blank is. And so it's kind of weird how some shows have like a title, and you can tell some shows didn't really have a title and they just kind of threw one in there for like a DVD or something. So But anyway, so mine was season two, episode two of Halloween. This is also the first Halloween episode of The Office. And what I liked about this episode was kind of, well, I don't know, I guess like a lot of the costumes that they did in this one were really good. This is one where Michael has a second paper mache head on his shoulder that looks like him.
So great.
Yeah, it's great. It was a great idea. Dwight's like a Sith Lord and, you know, is like super nerdy about it. And that's the one where Jim is three hole punch Jim.
Right.
You know, you can have plain white Jim or three hole punch version or whatever.
What is that? What are you supposed to be?
Three hole punch version of Jim. Because you can have me either way, plain white Jim or three hole punch.
That's great. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, well, look, what about me?
What are you? A monk?
I'm a Sith Lord. No big deal. Three round pieces of paper taped to his shirt. This cost me $129.
Yes.
You know, it's one where Angela is like really psycho about the party planning committee, which is like her thing on the show, you know.
Yeah.
And I like kind of just like some subtle things about the episode, because like I said, Dwight's dressed like a Sith Lord, and the whole plot of the actual episode is that Michael has to fire someone by the end of the day, because Jan tells him that he has to fire someone at the end of the month, and she wants to know who he picked, but he hasn't picked anybody yet because he doesn't want to do it. Because, of course, you know, as we mentioned before, Michael wants everybody to like him and be his friend, so he can't really, you know, figure out who he's going to fire. And he kind of has Dwight help him out, and then Dwight comes in to say something to him, and Michael's, like, pretending to talk to his head, and he's like, oh, who? He's like, oh, yeah, we could fire him or whatever. But I love it because when they show Dwight's responses, because he's, like I said, he's dressed like a Sith Lord, so he's got the hood up, and they just like focus in on his mouth, because that's the only part of Dwight you can see with the hood up, and he's like, no, Michael, no, tell him to stop. Right. And it's almost like he at that moment is an actual Sith Lord, like the Emperor, trying to, you know, make him stop. And it's just like there was such a subtle detail about that episode that really stood out for me. I'm like, hey, that's kind of like, that's almost Star Wars-ish, you know? But I think the overall, and of course, you know, there's that whole will they, won't they with Jim and Pam. And this is also the one where they make like a fake resume for Dwight. And, you know, he's like, I'm not sure. He's like, no, I'm flattered that you have my resume, but I'm not sure it might be my official one. What does it say about martial arts? He's like, okay, I'm going to have to make an amendment to that. Cause he's just such a nerd about it. But anyway, what I think another big thing is really, it gives you the typical, Michael, it kind of hashes it out for everybody to see who he actually is as a person, you know? I know when the season one was on, like the test audiences didn't really like Michael. They didn't think he was a good character. They thought he was just a jerk. So for them to like Michael, you kind of have to humanize him a little bit. And I think this kind of wraps it all up for you because, you know, he wants everybody to love him and be his friend and he can't figure out who to fire. So when he does fire the guy, he's like, you know, oh, can we still be friends? You know, after it happens or whatever. And at the end of the episode, you know, he's like really lonely and at home watching TV and you can kind of tell that, you know, he's lonely and he wants his own family. And, you know, when the kids come to the door, you know, he's really excited to see the kids dressed up as, you know, in their costumes on Halloween. So I just thought for all those reasons, it kind of just, it was the, you know, the best Halloween episode they ever did. And it really stands out because it's like, you know, just a really good episode. So that's what I picked.
Yeah, it definitely helps when the gimmick show is also a quality episode instead of a... just kind of, oh, we'll let Halloween carry this kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, really, in this one, Halloween is just the backdrop of what's really going on in the episode. You know, it's not like,
right,
oh, let's do a Halloween episode. Oh, we got to think of a plot. I mean, there's actually a plot to it. You know, it was just really well done all around, I thought.
Oh, without a doubt.
So, I guess we're coming up to number one, and I haven't heard you mention this show yet. And if you didn't pick the one I thought you did, I'm going to be a little disappointed, but what's your number one?
No, I'm thinking that whatever you're thinking is I guess I knew we were both gonna pick it, so
you picked something else. Okay.
I figured I would kind of consider that more of an overall Treehouse of Horror level kind of necessary inclusion.
Yeah, that's true.
So for my list proper, my top one is also an episode of Roseanne.
Okay.
And I picked, thankfully, a different one from what you picked as well. Yeah. This is the, surprise, surprise, sixth episode of season four, titled Trick Me Up, Trick Me Down, from October 29th of 1991. And I think overall for me, this is probably my favorite slash the best Halloween episode Roseanne the series ever did, because I think it gets the balance just right between all of the Halloween elements and then, as we've been discussing throughout this episode of our show, all of the elements of family and life story of the sitcom itself.
Right.
I don't feel like it gave either aspect too much emphasis over the other. I think the balance was pretty good. Probably the best, quote-unquote, scary prank from Roseanne happened in this episode in the opening with Roseanne getting caught having murdered Dan on the kitchen table by their annoying neighbor. Yes. Kathy.
I need to go home. Would you just look at this mess? I don't know how many times I've said it to myself. It's just like gutting a fish. I swear I was way better the last time.
The last time?
Yeah, you know, with Becky's dad, he was blonde too. Hey, I know. You've got a garbage disposal over your house, don't you?
Oh, my God. Please. I need to go home.
Oh, no, you can't go. You'll tell.
No, I won't. I promise. I won't tell. Please, let me go.
Liver. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, it was gross and awesome all the same time.
Yeah, they really.
Yeah, that was. They had like almost like movie level quality guts that they used for him or whatever on the table. I remember that. That was pretty, I guess, lifelike. Not. I mean, obviously, you knew it was fake and it was like a prank, but yeah, it was pretty good.
Well, that's one of the other elements that makes this particular Halloween episode so great is that it's a marked difference in budget and quality for the show in general, probably, and certainly the Halloween episodes. Right. It kind of takes everything to the next level. And this episode is also notable for being the final appearance of George Clooney as the character Booker.
Ah, yep.
They have a Halloween party later on, and he shows up in like this moose costume, and throughout the party they're trying to figure out who the guy in the moose costume is, and of course, in towards the end he reveals himself to be George Clooney. And you know, Booker is like a character from the first season that was kind of their boss at the plastic factory.
Yep.
Jackie always had like a little fling with. And for whatever reason they bring him back for this one, and I actually watched this with the commentary because I have this episode on DVD. And Roseanne kind of explains that the idea was to kind of have George Clooney involved for more of the season, or for, you know, more episodes. But for whatever reason, like, the producers or the writers kind of intended or kind of wanted him to do something different than he wanted. And they just couldn't come to an agreement. And Roseanne kind of seemed pretty bitter about that. Not towards George Clooney, but towards the way it all worked out, and she thought he kind of got screwed. So basically, yeah. This was his swan song as the character. But yeah, overall, I just really like this episode.
You know, it's funny that you mention, you know, how George Clooney had a different idea of, like, you know, the character than what the writers did. I think it's so fascinating to me that, like, these actors, they get paid to do something, they get so invested in it themselves, and they just think, like, no, the character would never do that. It's just like,
right.
I kind of feel like, dude, you know, you're an actor, you're getting paid to do the script, you know what I mean? But, like, I guess, like, when you get to a certain point and you've done the character for so long, you're just kind of like, that doesn't make sense. And, like, you know the character better than the writers do, you know? But I think a lot of that also comes from the fact that usually a show, you know, like a sitcom show like that, has different writers like all the time, you know. It's not the same guy or girl, you know, writing the same thing for 10 seasons. There's like some group of people that's like, oh, these two wrote that episode, you know what I mean? So I kind of feel like there's a lot of conflict there. So I always find that interesting too. Of course, off topic of the Halloween episode, I'm sorry, but that is interesting. I just want to throw that out there.
Right.
But yeah, I do. Yeah, that's definitely memorable for the prank in the beginning. That's also that's probably my second favorite Roseanne prank besides the hand in the garbage disposal. So, because yeah,
and they it seemed to always involve Dan getting brutally injured.
Yeah, well, that was his thing too. He always wanted to scare you the most or something. So, I wonder if they're gonna do actually another Halloween episode for the Connors. I know you're not interested in seeing that, but I'd be interested to see it.
Yeah, I believe I saw that they were.
Okay,
there was like a preview showing it or something.
Okay, cool.
I think the final piece of this episode that I love and that I think most people will remember is, you know, Dan and Roseanne always have these elaborate costumes, and this episode is no exception. And this episode, I guess, was probably my favorite of their costumes. It was. Mm-hmm. They did Dan was the ventriloquist Edgar Bergman, and Roseanne was his ventriloquist dummy Mortuary Snurd. Yeah. based of course on Edgar Bergman and Mortimer Snurd.
Yep.
The real life ventriloquist and dummy, and he is of course known for being Candace Bergen's father, who is Murphy Brown, and talking about shows that have been revived. I'm not sure if there have been any Murphy Brown Halloween episodes. I kind of overlooked that. But
yeah, I never really watched that, though. So
yeah, Roseanne ultimately is the winner, and this is my pick for best of the best.
Cool. You know, it's funny, because I don't think there's ever been any Seinfeld Halloween episodes either, has there?
They never went all out with the theming, from what I understand.
Yeah, and I think honestly for the characters that wouldn't have really made sense to do that either.
Yeah.
You know, like this just the characters they played on the show would obviously not be bothered with dressing up in Halloween costumes and, you know, stuff like that. So I mean, that makes sense. It's just like, I was kind of thinking about that too. I was like, yeah, Seinfeld's like one of my favorite shows, but I don't even remember a Halloween episode, you know. I mean, right. I've seen that series probably 10 times through, so.
Exactly.
So yeah. Okay, well, the number one pick, which is, I guess it's good that you kind of left it off because you knew I was going to pick it anyway.
Right.
For me. So, because it'd be kind of weird just to, you know.
Well, I mean, it's technically our mutual, I'm sure it's our mutual favorite Halloween-esque sitcom episode.
Well, yeah. And on top of that, it's like one of my favorite sitcom episodes of all time, period.
Right.
You know, even though it is a Halloween theme. But It is the season 5 episode of Boy Meets World, titled "And Then There Was Sean." And you know, the backdrop for this is that Corey and Topanga have broken up at this point, and you know, Sean is just beside himself. You know, with the fact that they've broken up, and he feels like he's responsible for them staying together. Like he has to get them back together, and it's set off because they are, a bunch of them are arguing about it in class, and they get detention. And in detention, you don't really know this at first, but Sean falls asleep and dreams. But they're in detention, and you know, they find this gruesome message on the blackboard that, like, you know, no one's getting out of here alive. And it kind of goes into a parody of the movie Scream, with a shrouded figure with a weird mask, you know, lurking in the background at certain spots. And basically, it's a it's kind of like a dream where Sean is kind of coming to terms with the fact that Corey and Topanga have broken up, and you know, all the characters start getting killed, you know, one at a time, and you know, they're like, oh, maybe it's the janitor, but then the janitor's dead, and oh, maybe it's the new girl, Jennifer Love Pfefferman, because Jennifer Love Hewitt does a high profile cameo, because at the time she's dating Will Friedle, who played Eric Matthews. And oh, maybe it was her, but no, she dies. So they can't figure out who it is, but now, and all of a sudden they realize, well, it's got to be one of us. And then, you know, they catch the shrouded figure at the end, and they pull the mask off, and it ends up being Sean, and he wakes up, and of course you get your Feeneyism at the end, and that is it. So feel free to fill in anything I might have missed on that.
Well, a fun fact about this, as I kind of alluded to earlier, this is the second time one of our episode picks has actually been from February. This technically isn't even a Halloween episode.
Right.
And yep. I was shocked to learn that this year, because I was, again, Boy Meets World's on Hulu, so I was frantically searching through all the seasons. Like, I know it was like right around season 4 or 5, and I just couldn't find it. And then, mm-hmm. you know, I came to realize, oh, that's weird. It's not where I thought it would be.
Yeah.
So this is episode 17 of season 5, originally airing February 27th, 1998. And yeah, it's overall probably one. I mean, Boy Meets World in general has always been my favorite sitcom of all time. I know it's one of yours. I mean, we used to talk about this show and watch it all the time back in the day.
Yep.
And probably none more than this episode.
Oh yeah, this is, I would say, definitely our most watched episode. Can't go wrong, you know.
Yeah, there's just so many. It's just such a well done parody of all the things. You know, all those cultural elements at the time.
Yep.
And it still stands up in a lot of ways to this day. And I think it's cool, like you mentioned Jennifer Love Hewitt's cameo. And yeah, she was dating Will Friedle at the time. And also, you know, she was obviously right fresh off of I Know What You Did Last Summer. So it was also relevant. It wasn't just like this. People forget that it wasn't just shoehorning in somebody's love interest from off the show.
Yeah.
And just the, you know, the way it's got kind of, for me, Halloween episodes have certain kind of elements that you need in order to really be a classic Halloween episode. And one of those things is guest stars. And this one had that. And not only Jennifer Love Hewitt, but also a guy named Richard Jackson, who apparently was best known for being on Saved by the Bell, The New Class, but, you know, had an actor brother as well, who was on an ABC soap opera. But anyway, they used him as the perfect kind of one-off character, as you mentioned. And I'm convinced they named him Kenny just so they could make Eric South Park references later on in the show.
Oh my gosh! They killed Kenny!
Right.
But I thought it was the way they killed him. Well, first of all, this episode of Boy Meets World is notable because, unlike a lot of sitcoms, in fact, if not most sitcoms, they actually kill people on screen. They kill main cast members on screen. And, like, it's not some, like, oh, somebody got hurt off camera. You know, they'll do it on. It's pretty cool. They'll kind of go for it. I mean, obviously, as much as you can on a mainstream sitcom.
Yeah, it's not, like, down to the gory detail. But, no. Yeah.
And I thought the way they dispatched Kenny's character was, to this day, just such a brilliant gag. They stab him through the head with the pencil, and as he slides down, Corey goes, "We'll always remember he was this tall, because it leaves a trail, a mark on the wall."
We'll always remember he was that tall.
That was awesome. Well, I think what you're kind of alluding to here is that this episode too, it's kind of like a microcosm of the entire show.
Right.
It just has every single like awesome element that Boy Meets World had throughout its run all in this episode. You know, it had like the romance, you know, love between the characters kind of thing going on. It had Eric being absolutely ridiculous and funny. And like you said, like these crazy, like almost like one line, one off jokes, you know, like you just pointed out, we'll always know he was this tall.
Right.
I mean, it was just like funny thing after funny thing in this episode. And of course, at the end, it has, you know, the Feeny moment where he's kind of helping Sean realize like what happened. And he's like, okay, you guys have suffered enough. You can get out of here. You know what I mean? It had every major element of that show in that episode, you know? And I think that's what made it such a classic, you know, episode for us too. And you know, obviously Eric's hilarious, you know, and that's what makes it so good.
Yeah. It's a great balance of like scary and funny and serious and entertaining. And you're right. It really is kind of a condensed Boy Meets World experience if you're kind of uninitiated with the show at large. And
It's like that's the episode you'd want someone to watch if like they've never seen it or something, you know.
Yeah, that would be a good one. I think also one of the best like on camera or like camera trick kind of things that I've seen on a sitcom as well is on this episode when, spoiler alert, they reveal towards the end that Sean is the killer, and Sean is also the one who unmasks the killer. So there's a scene where they're standing face to face, and to this day, it never fails to give me full body goosebumps when that happens.
Yeah, yep, totally. Well, and it didn't look fake and phony either. You know, a lot of those episodes where it's like, you know, the character playing another character, like one that comes to mind is on Full House when Jesse's cousin Stavros comes, he's playing the character as well.
Right.
Whenever they're together, you can totally tell it's like some kind of green screen splice thing going on. You know what I mean? So it was, and that's like the technology they had. So it wasn't their fault. But yeah, in this episode, like that, even like you said, the goosebump moment, but it's like, it looks good, you know, like with the special effect, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I got to watch that again sometime.
It holds that's up, just man. The best. It holds up.
I mean, without a doubt, it holds. I mean, it holds up now. Like you said, it's still just amazing.
Well, I guess that brings our breakdown/recap of our favorite Halloween episodes to a close for this spooky season.
I do enjoy a good Halloween sitcom episode.
All right, well, we thank you for listening to this show and hope that you had an appropriately festive Halloween experience.